A few months ago, my wife and I, well, it's been more than a few months ago, but we started going to these estate sales to find antiques, to find things that you can't find anywhere else. And we're starting to like it. And a few months ago, I went to an estate sale, and I found this little book that I bought. And the title of this book is actually the title of our sermon today. It's called The Greatest Thing in the World. It was written by a man named Henry Drummond, who lived in the 1800s. So this book was published in 1921. So it's 97 years old, almost 100 years old. And I want you to think for a minute, 100 years ago, what was the greatest thing in the world? What do you suppose was the greatest thing in the world 100 years ago? Now we come forward to 2018. What do you suppose is the greatest thing in the world today? What is the one thing that you consider the greatest thing in the world? When we talk about things of the world, maybe we might think something different than when we think about the greatest thing in the world as a Christian or as a son or a daughter of God. I want to read to you the first paragraph that he writes, and it's kind of like English in 100 years ago, so it's a little bit different than ours. But it says like this: everyone has asked himself the great question of antiquity as of the modern world. What is the summum bonum, the supreme good? You have life before you. Once only you can live it. What is the noblest object of desire, the supreme gift to covet? And I agree with this person that wrote this book 100 years ago that the greatest thing in the world is love. Love is the greatest thing in the world, and this morning we're going to see why. We're going to see why it's very important for us to have love. It's very important for us to understand God's love and Jesus' love. The Bible says not that God loves, but that God is love. And it's going to be very important for us this morning to understand that the greatest thing in our life, the greatest thing to have in our life is love. I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to read the whole chapter. It only has 13 verses. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul speaks to the church of Corinth. And he begins to say this: though I speak with a tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned or as a martyr, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It is not provoked and thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. As I continue reading the letter to the Corinthians, how the Apostle Paul writes to this church, and began to read chapter 13 and try to understand how is it that the Apostle Paul is saying that love is greater than prophecy. Love is greater than a person who has faith and can remove mountains, but yet love is greater than that. So what he begins to do, he begins to make a contrast here. He is telling us, in order to be successful in all these areas, you have to have contact with God. In other words, love comes from God. Love is shown to us by God. The Bible says that God sent His only begotten Son here to earth to die for us. That was that love that He showed humanity, how much He really loved us. It wasn't a small thing to give up your own Son, especially when He was in heaven with you, especially when He had created all things with you, when everything was so good and they were up there watching man and woman fall to sin, and then man continued to sin. How disappointed they must have been. But yet, the plan that has been set before the world was that Jesus Christ, our Savior, was going to come down from heaven to become human. As the Gospel of John chapter 1 says, verse 14, He became flesh. He did all that because God loved all humanity. As I said, it's not something easy to give up your only begotten Son. I remember the writer to the Hebrews, he says that the blood of the cows and the bulls, the system that God used in the Old Testament where people would have to sacrifice these animals for the forgiveness of sin. And there in chapter 10, Jesus says, you wanted this, but you wanted something better. And I'm paraphrasing it. And I said, here I am, Lord, I'll go. Many times we forget that not only was Jesus sent, but Jesus Himself was willing to come to earth to die for us. When He was walking on earth, Jesus would say, I come here to do the will of my Father. I don't do anything here unless my Father tells me. He was a very obedient Son. But He did it out of love. So that's why the Apostle Paul says, in order to understand all the prophecies in the Scripture, you need to have love. Because without it, you are nothing. In order to have faith that you can move mountains and remove mountains, you need to have love. In order to do all these things, if love is not there, it's useless. And I believe that, and I agree with that. I believe that when you have love inside of you, God's love inside of you, it actually produces more action. It produces more obedience. Since the beginning of time, God has always wanted a relationship with mankind. Since the beginning of time, God has said His ways, and He has never, ever forced anyone to obey Him, to love Him. He has given us the free will to choose if we want to love Him, if we want to obey Him. It is His desire for us to come to Him. It is His desire for us to show love to Him. But He is never going to force us to do it. And many times that's why we confuse ourselves and says, well, if I'm not getting punished, then why should I have to do this? Well, maybe this is okay to do because I don't see God punishing me. Where it should be the opposite. When we have the love of God inside of us, we don't ask questions. We just say, God, what do you want me to do? God, what can I do for you? God, how can I show you my love? And that's why I'm saying it produces obedience and it produces actions. We don't obey God so we can earn our salvation. We obey God because we love Him. And it's very important to have that love inside of us. The Apostle Paul continues to say, and he analyzes things. First, he does a contrast. If you don't have this, if you don't have love, prophecy, if you have prophecy, then it doesn't do you any good. But then he goes on to say that love is patience, love is kind. And he begins to tell us all that love is. And if you forget, just go back and read it during the week, and it will tell you clearly all the things. There's 9 things there that love is. And this is how we should show our love to God. By showing the fruits of these 9 things. Because the Apostle Paul says that this is how we connect with God. Through love, we are connected to God. And this is what He wants. He wants us to show our love to Him. In the same way that He showed love to us. Let us open our Bibles to 1 John. First John chapter 3. We're going to read verse 16 through verse 18. It says, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Is that possible? I always say to myself, yes, I will do it. But in reality, will I? Will I lay down my life for my brother, for my sister? That's what Jesus did for us. Verse 17. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love demonstrates all things. Love shows all things. Love helps. Love is obedience. I was remembering when you get a little light, a little flashlight, and you stick this, and you put this beam of light into a crystal. When you put it underneath this, for example, a round crystal, and you put the light in there, and then what comes out of it is all these colors, all the rainbow colors. And to me, it's always been an amazing thing. How is it that I put a light in this glass and all these colors come out? But to illustrate what love is that. When God puts His love in us, all these beautiful things come out of us. Just like this crystal, you put just a little beam of light, and you have this violet color and this orange color, this red color, blue. I mean, everything's so beautiful. And in the same way, love is. When God's love is inside of us. It's something that we receive from God. And then out of us, so many wonderful things come out. So I want us to think this morning, is that what's happening in our life? Is that what we're showing in our life today? Because if we're not, that can change. It can start tomorrow. Are we showing all these beautiful colors? Are we helping all these people that are in need that God puts before us? Are we trying to save all those souls that are lost, that are in pain? Because it takes our love to change their life. It takes our love to demonstrate who God truly is and what God truly has done for the world. There's only a few of us, but with God's love inside of us, we can do so much. There's so much we can do. And that's why I truly believe this little book where it says, love is the greatest thing in the world. And especially when we're talking about God's love, the agape love, the love that comes from God. The Apostle John continues saying, let us read in chapter 4. First John chapter 4. And let us read verse 17 through verse 19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have the boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. In the context of the verses, I understand that the Apostle John is talking about that judgment day. When you don't have that love of God and you don't have that assurance, you're worried, what's going to happen to me on that judgment day? And when you have that love and you're perfected in that love, you have no worries about that. Because you know that if you die now, you're going to wake up, Jesus is going to come back, and you're going to resurrect. Well, if Jesus comes back today, you're going to be transformed, you're going to meet Jesus in the air, and you're going to reign on this earth. No fear. No fear of death, no fear of the future, because we have been perfected in this love. But I also want to apply this in the fact that sometimes when we love something so much, and the fear comes into us, it just, for some reason or somehow, it just leaves us. Because love conquers fear. This week we were remembering the heroes of 9/11, 2001. And on the History Channel they had a lot of folks talking about what had happened. A group of people on the 81st floor began walking down. There was a lady, she was pregnant, 7-month-old. And you could see that they had that fear in them. They were scared of what was going to happen. But when they all got together and they said, we're going to die together, or we're all going to live, and we're going to get out of this building. At that moment, they made that decision and they started walking 80 floors down to the exit. And their main goal, no more fear, was to get out of there. And they were focused on getting this pregnant lady out, which was 7-month-old. Two men on the 77th floor began walking down. On the 75th floor, they saw a handicapped lady in a wheelchair. She had one of those motorized wheelchairs, so they couldn't get her down in that wheelchair. So they got this stretcher or this emergency wheelchair, and they began walking from the 75th floor all the way down with this lady. And they said to themselves, and they testified on TV, they said to themselves, we're going to take you all the way down. We're not going to leave you. It was that fear that they had, but they were so focused in saving this lady that the love that came upon them took that fear out. And as people were walking down, these brave firemen were walking up to their death. And you begin to think, why would anybody do that? And when they were asked by these folks, it was their job. It was their job to make sure nobody was stuck in the top floors. And over 300 firemen died that day. Now, I believe that this is the taste of God's love in the American people. There was fear. They were scared. But they had a cause. They had a purpose. And that purpose was to get out alive. Together. All or nothing. And they did. They got out. It was that love that cast that fear out. And they were accomplished. And they accomplished what they wanted to do. See, and I believe that that's a taste of God's love inside of us. That when somebody is in need, it's our nature to help them. It's our nature to show our love to them. Now we as Christians, we are called upon to do much more than that. Not only in times of need. Because we have the love of God inside of us, which is the agape love inside of us, that should and will produce a lot of actions, a lot of deeds, a lot of help. And notice what the next verse says in 1 John chapter 4, 5, 3, excuse me. Verse 1 through verse 3. It says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. God has done His part. Jesus has done His part. It is our turn to do our part. We shouldn't be asked to show love. It should be automatic. We are now. We have been blessed to be called children of God. We have been blessed to have this love of God inside of us, which should produce great things. So having this greatest thing inside of us will produce great things that are going to come outside of us. This is a fact. Love produces great things. If we have love, the love of God in us, we will produce great things. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How simple is that? If you love me, you will do my will. If you love me, if you say you know God and you don't keep His commandments, then you are a liar. These are simple words, but yet very strong. Our obedience should come naturally to God. Our obedience to God is not to earn anything. God has done it all already. Our obedience is an act of love. When we help someone, it's not because somebody is telling us to do it. It's because we're showing love. When we know all the mysteries of the Bible, we know them because God has revealed them to us. Because God is in us. His love is in us. So it is something that we all should really take into consideration. Love. Don't just say it. Love. Feel it. Let it burn inside of you. Let it produce great things for God and for others. May God bless you.